This morning, we're not going to have a reading, in as much as we're going to be looking at six different readings. So we'll come to them as we come to them, if you get what I'm saying. That makes sense? Good. That's a good start. Can't guarantee how else will, but yeah. So this morning we're looking at this question, are you ready? And I suppose in a way the question maybe implies that we're not. I don't know about you in your house, but normally the question, are you ready, means you're still sat in your pyjamas watching telly and you're supposed to be at school in 5 minutes. Are you ready to go and do what you need to do? Have you got the things that you need? Thinking back to my former life as a teacher, you say to the pupils, are you ready? It usually means you might need a pencil for this. And Christmas, well, are you ready? Do you remember that bloke? Yeah, John Anderson, I think his name. Yeah, John Anderson. If you remember the Gladiator TV program, it used to be his catchphrase, are you ready? And I suppose when it comes to Christmas, we're asking that question, aren't we? You know, is your tree up? Hands up, tree's up? Yeah, some of us are, yeah. I've no excuse this year, you see. We always have the excuse, well, I've been doing it for 3 weeks already, kind of thing. I'm not putting the tree up to the last minute, but I've not got that excuse. Cards all written. Presents wrapped. Bought. No. Food bought. Obviously not cooked yet, but food bought. Are you ready? No. House decorated, we have to include that these days, don't we? House decorated, you know, you've got your reindeer on the roof, your Santa climbing in at the bedroom window, suddenly you've got your own illuminated nativity in the front garden and whatnot. Yeah. Are you ready? Well, as we already said, and Elijah helped us to understand, in scripturally speaking, God wanted his people to be ready for the Messiah. God wanted his people to be ready for when Jesus came. And so he set within Scripture some prophecies. And we're just going to look at three of them prophecies this morning. You know how normally your preacher tries to start each point with the same word, the same letter, you know, three P's this morning, all that kind of thing. No, we're not. We're doing it by rhyme this morning. We're doing it by rhyme, okay? So we've got, the first thing is a family tree, okay? I'll read you a passage from Isaiah. He said, tell I'm not used to these guys. Hey. Ever so funny, this is not to do with this morning's sermon. Went to the LCS's school play this last week on Friday, and Mr. Chorner, the drama teacher, I guess the drama master, he directed it, and he got up at the end and he did a bit of a speech, and he put his glasses on. Eric Morecambe, he come back. I'm like that. And Bert, what sort of, Eric Morecambe? I thought any minute now he's going to do that. But he didn't. He didn't thank. Anyway, sorry. Where were we? Isaiah, weren't we? That's it. a branch from Jesse. A shoot will rise up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and power. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness a sash round his waist. I shan't go on to read. There is more to come in that. But we did look at that a couple of weeks ago. Now, we quite often, I don't know about you, but Scripture often kind of means more to you when you engage with it, okay? And I love this bit of Scripture, because actually what they're talking about is coppicing, okay? What we're talking about is coppicing. There we go. And the idea of coppicing is that with a deciduous tree, you cut it off at ground level, and you harvest what you cut off. Several years ago, Dr. Green helped myself put about 350 of these sticks in at my field. And now they're in the second rotation of coppice harvesting. But you know, it looks ever so bleak when you've actually cut everything down to ground level like that. You think, wow, that's it. The place is lifeless now. There's no height to it. There's no structure to it anymore. It's gone. And we're in the context of the Isaiah's writing. Kind of the mighty tree, if you like, of the family of Jesse. Jesse were David's dad. The mighty tree of Jesse. The mighty kingdom of Israel and Judah have been cut down and carted off, just like wood is cut down and carted off and during the exiles. And kind of all the good stuff, the useful stuff, so to speak, have been carted away to foreign countries. And I'm guessing, looking on that sea, looking in Israel, looking in Judah, it would have looked pretty bleak. Like a forest that's been hacked down, and how can anything good come out of that? But what Isaiah, or what God is promising through Isaiah, is that in time, out of the growth band of that tree, a shoot will appear. That's what this is. Now, in truthfulness, this is 3 foot of 15 foot, 20 foot. That's come out of the growth band of a willow. But over time, we've not come to learn about coppicing, but this is overdue to be cut again. But from what looked like a hopeless situation, that life would spring. That this mighty tree that had been cut down would actually be tall and useful again. Would be productive again. Now, when that prophecy was written, I don't know if the people first, hearing it, and then ultimately reading it, would appreciate timescale. Would appreciate that 28 generations would have to pass before it came true, if you like, before it came to being. 28 generations. To put that into perspective, if something was going to happen today that had been prophesied, it would have been in 13, I've got it written down somewhere. About 13, earliest 13, the great famine that took place in Europe, that took place in England, would have been happening when this were written, if it were going to happen today. Just to put it into our, Edward II would be on the throne. Just to kind of put it into a context. 28 generations are waiting for this shoot to appear. And I'm guessing that kind of, probably a bit like us, our readiness, their readiness, probably ebbed off over time. It's like, do you remember them springy toys you used to get with a suction cup? And you used to be like some ugly little monster thing. You used to press it down, lick it first, press it down, and then it could sit there like that. And you'd wait. And you'd wait, and eventually, it's going to happen. Bang! And it'd spring up, catch you by surprise. And you'd roll. We were simpler days then. You'd roll around laughing, and you know. And I guess, in a way, it would be a little bit like that for these people. That actually, maybe, got to the stage where they were no longer looking for it to spring up. Matthew 1:6. There's a bit of a loose connection on this microphone, Nigel. Don't worry, we'll carry on. But just in case you're worrying, it's not my hips or knees that are making that rattling sound. It's you can read in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. And there we're seeing verse 6, Jesse, the father of King David. Okay. I'm not sure I've got my maths right. Well, not probably my relational maths right, but kind of Jesse would have been Jesus's great times 25 granddad, great granddad. Okay. And there we have it, that this Christ child, Jesus, is born to fulfill the prophecy. Are you ready? Well, do you remember with Elijah? Are you ready? Were him to get ready to catch. I'll stand in front of this. I'll stop walking about that. The get ready was to remind him to be ready to catch. It helps if you know where to look, doesn't it? They should have been looking for somebody of the right family tree, belonging to Jesse. That unintentional rhyme, that one. Sorry. Are you ready? And in Jesus, we have the fulfillment. So let's move on. Place to be. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are the small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And it goes on. A place to be. Now, on my birth certificate, if you read it, it'll tell you that my place of origin, it might even say Doncaster Gate Hospital, Rotherham. So I'm guessing that if you were looking for the offspring from the stump of the Collinson clan, you'd need to be looking in Rotherham. That's the place to be, as ever. That's another matter. And the people of the time should have been ready, looking in Bethlehem. You know, there's a sense in which... I'm going to turn this off because it's driving me mad. It's not a long road, but... A sense in which... It is me, knees. Yeah. Oh, dear. There's a sense in which I can't help wonder that if this had been today, there'd have been some kind of like, you know, watching station set up in Bethlehem. You know, like you have a whale watching station. Some kind of station like that just kind of sat and watched and waited, you know. Waited for something to happen in Bethlehem. I can't help thinking that, you know, probably the town council would have kind of set up a Messiah birthing station just ready for when it were needed. But maybe them plans got shelved because of cutbacks and what have you. And as time went on, people forgot. But Micah gives us the heads up of where our eyes need to be looking. If only, though, we could get a long-lost member of that clan to somehow end up in Bethlehem at just the right time. If only. Let's read a bit of Luke. Luke 2. See what the doctor's got to say to us. Here we go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a Roman census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. From a family tree to a place to be, it came to pass. Just as God had given his people the heads up that it would do. Now, that's Bethlehem, by the way. I don't know if that's a picture that Mary and Joseph actually took. Probably not. There we go. Now, know what you're saying. In your head, you're thinking circumstance don't rhyme. We're a family tree and a place to be. Well, do you know how quite often when preachers do that thing where they start each one with a same letter, and the last one's a bit tenuous, a bit shonky, isn't it? Interference free. That rhymes. Virgin birth. Back to Isaiah again, and this is what he's got to say to us. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says this: Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, if the stump of Jesse looked like a hopeless cause, a hopeless case, then a virgin is a dead cert not to be having a baby. Physiologically, it's just not possible. Now, I don't suggest that this is the time or the place for that special talk as to how babies happen. And actually, in truth, when we were doing reproduction, studying it, that is, when I was at comp, somebody nicked the video before I got to watch it, so I'm still in the dark. But I do know, in order for something to happen, something's got to happen. And if nothing happens, then nothing should happen. Have I got that right? I hope so. So how come something happened when Mary did nothing? It must have been that this child was not a natural child, but a supernatural child. And as Isaiah tells us, God is at work. And the resulting child is Emmanuel, God with us. To nick a phrase from a film, well, from a series, we are not alone. We're not alone, but are you ready? And way back then, when Jesus was getting ready to be born, you know, even with Immaculate Conception, there were 9 months of waiting. 9 months of getting ready. 9 months of people looking, maybe saying and wondering. And I guess, especially as it got towards D-Day, delivery day, there would have been that, well, are you ready? As I was preparing this, I was forced back to remembering when Georgie was born, our first child. That makes it sound like we've got hundreds, but, you know. And that thing, are you ready? You know, and the preparations, the bags being packed and nurseries being painted, well, in advance, don't. Paint poisoning and all that kind of stuff. And cots being scrounged and built, and new mattresses sourced to fit it, and all manner of contraptions purchased and put together, washed, sterilised, put to one side, bags packed again. Another article read, bags unpacked and packed again, following that article. And all the time we were doing this, we were rushing down to Wales to see Bert's dying mum at the time, and what have you, and we were rushing backwards and forwards, and clothes were bought and sourced and scrounged and boxed up and labelled, lists were made, bags packed again. And then Bert got preeclampsia in Wales, and we were nowhere that, sorry, slightly racist statement coming out, there was nowhere my child wouldn't be Welsh, so we rushed back. We were bad enough from being born in Derby, in my Wales. So we rushed back, you know, we were literally told she either goes back in the morning or she stays in Wales until she has the baby. So we rushed back, back to Derby, straight to the, what's the Royal now, into the maternity suite there. And Bert stayed there and I went back to, I was obviously teaching then and we were doing nativity plays and what have you, and I got a phone call one morning, Bert's gone into labour, but she's 3-4 weeks early. Well, she's gone into labour, okay, I'll come down after the nativity. So we did a nativity play and shot down to put the guitar in the car and drove down to church actually and walked down to down to the Royal, and there later on that night Georgia were born early, but because she were early, well, that's my excuse, we weren't ready, even though we'd done all that packing and what have you. There were some things that were, I don't know whether we didn't know we needed them, but you know what I've got to say is that when you're in that situation, the one thing that's better, or the one thing that really helps, is having someone who's even less prepared than you are to help you. I don't know if any of you remember Mark Maledo, our youth worker at the time. We were good friends, and he said, you know, well, are you ready? I said, well, no, Mark, no. Oh, so what, Bert needs some things by him. Oh. Well, it'd be a good excuse for us to go into town. So we went into town and looked at the shops we wanted to look at, and eventually, oh, we need to get Bert's things, yeah. Oh, well, we've not got long on parking. I'll come with you. So he comes with me into Boots, and as we're going into Boots, he's saying, well, what is it that you need? What is it that you need? I says, they're in here somewhere. We'll go to the maternity section. And he got a slightly more worried look on his face. And then his face with a picture, as I picked up, the paper knickers. And I could see in his mind, he was trying to delete the picture of Bert wearing these paper knickers. I thought, no, I'm not ready, but I'm more ready than you. Anyway, back to the plot. Virgin birth. And Matthew 1. Family tree, a place to be, interference free. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. No paper knickers. His mother Mary were placed to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. even in that one verse, we've got the first two prophecies fulfilled. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Place to be, a family tree, wrong order, I know, interference free. When it came to these three things, and others besides that were prophesied, the baby Jesus fitted the bill. And yet, so many of the people of his time weren't ready to see, weren't ready to acknowledge that this child was the child that God had prophesied. The one that God had given the heads up about. Family tree, place to be, interference free. But his people not ready. Now, for us today, so many years further on, what's the point of spending a morning looking at this? Well, just to say that Jesus did have the right family tree. He was born in the place that had to be. And he was born of a mother interference free. He fits the bill. He fits the brief. He fits what was expected. And so his claims have some validity. And I guess the challenge for each one of us this morning is, are we ready? Ready to have our lives invaded. To be changed in the same way as having a baby come amongst us in our lives. Ready to have plans changed, agendas changed. Ready to surrender our life map over to Emmanuel. God with us. Ready to accept the hope of the shoot from the stump of Jesse. Ready to accept the baby born in Bethlehem. Ready to embrace the God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, to hold and to be held. Are you ready?
Lord Jesus, you came amongst us as a baby. Fully human and yet fully God. Who came to impact our lives, to rescue us. To give us a different perspective. A different future. This Advent time, help us to get ready. To embrace you and be embraced by you. We give you this opportunity to prompt us to know what that means in our individual lives. That we might truly become your worshippers. In Jesus' name.